Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. And during the month of October, we are giving away one heck of a prize, a $300 Amazon gift card. If you want a chance at winning it, all you got to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Then shoot me a screenshot of it by emailing contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Again, very simple. Leave Real Ghost Stories Online a review on Apple Podcasts. Then send me the screenshot to contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. On Halloween, we'll pick our winner and notify him via email. A $300 Amazon gift card. You can buy all sorts of spooky Halloween stuff on close-up by the time Halloween comes around, or use it for Christmas. Leave that review now and then send me the screenshot, contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Good luck.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online, 31 days of Halloween. An extra ghost story a day to keep the spirits at bay.
Hey guys, this is Steve, a big fan. I listen to you very often. I want to share a story with you. It's about some family land that, you know, we've inherited, my brother and I, through generations. But it starts back in the late 1940s. And my father came from a large family. There were 12 of them total as far as children, 11 and then himself, and he was next to the youngest. My grandfather was a coal miner by trade, and then of course they had a farm on the family land that, you know, helped provide for the family food. And so every morning our grandfather would get up and hook to a team of a couple of mules or horses to his wagon and go around the farm and do feeding and chores prior to going to work every day, which he didn't have far to go at the time, though, where it was a coal mine on the property, just on the other side of the land, which it was a very sizable section of land. But he would get up at 4:30 in the morning and get started with his chores. And my grandmother would get up and start making breakfast for the children while he was out doing chores. And then they would come together and have breakfast together, and he would go on off to work. So my father was 3 years old, and my grandfather was in a incident, work-related, and unfortunately he was burned alive. He was trapped and burned alive in a mining incident. A week later, well, let me back up. The cemetery, the family cemetery, is on top of what we call the mountain. That's where the homestead is, and that's where they lived, was on the family land at, you know, or referred to as the mountain, which it is from the main road, or from, you know, the road in the community. It's exactly 1 mile from the bottom to the top of the mountain. And on top of the mountain is where the homestead was. And of course, the cemetery, family cemetery. So it was about a week after the burial, and you could see the cemetery from the homestead. But my grandmother, of course, she was up 5 a.m. and she was cooking breakfast for the children. And she heard the buggy, the wagon, come by the windows, the kitchen, and just like it was when he was alive. Now, it was my grandmother. I heard her tell this story many times before she passed. And she passed in the late 80s. And she wasn't the type of lady to spin yarns or tell something outrageous just to scare children. You know, she was a very, very straightforward lady. If she told you something, it was the truth, you know. So it wasn't a story that she would tell just to scare the kids. So she hears this wagon go by, and she's looking out all the windows and don't see anything. And of course, it's dark outside, but still you could see the, you know, silhouette of a wagon going by the house. And no other, you know, families live up on top of this mountain. No other traffic, you know. It's all the land was owned by the family up there. So the next morning, same thing. She hears the wagon go by. The third morning, she's thinking, you know, and to herself, she said she was thinking, am I going crazy? Am I losing my mind? You know, what's going on? You know, she was grieving heavily, and of course, but she wakes up all the children about 4:30 on the third morning and puts them in every window of the house looking out. And sure enough, I've heard my aunts and my uncles would tell this story. My father was still too young, but the older children had heard through my life, you know, them when they would get to talking about the mountain would tell this story. But they all heard the wagon and buggy come by, and you could hear it, but no one could see it. They were even, you know, the oldest kids were at the door and standing on the porch, and they all heard it, but no one saw it. And oddly enough, that was the last morning that they heard my grandfather's wagon or him going to the fields. Now we skip ahead about 23, 24 years. And of course, by this time, my grandmother had remarried. And to get, as I told you earlier, it's a mile from the bottom of the mountain to the top. And it's an old wagon trail from the bottom to the top. And unless you had a strong four-wheel drive, you weren't going to make it in an automobile. So they would walk from the top of the mountain down to the bottom to catch a school bus or to catch a ride to work. And my dad's stepfather at the time, which my father was, you know, grown and married by this time, but he was visiting my mom, my grandmother. My father was visiting his mother with my mom, was with him at the time. And my grandmother's husband at the time worked in the coal mines, not the mines that was on the land. They closed that mines down after my grandfather passed. But he actually would walk down the mountain and catch a ride at the foot of the mountain and go on to work. Well, on this one night, it was in the fall. It was getting dark early, and he was usually home around 7:30 at night. And just so happened my father and mother were at the homestead with, and this was before I was born, so, but I've heard my parents speak of it before they passed. But, and also my grandmother had told this one. But, my, step grandfather, was late coming in one night. It had been raining and it was very foggy, and my grandmother was getting concerned because there is a shortcut, a path that you could take if you, you know, if you knew the mountain and you knew the path, it was a shortcut to get to the homestead up to where the house was. But it was a little risky because it followed a cliff. And if you didn't know the land well, it was easy to, you know, if you ever slipped off, then it could be days, weeks, or months before anyone would find you, you know. So after he was late by about 30 minutes or so, she asked my father, well, you know, you've got the four-wheel drive, get in your truck and go down and see if you see him anywhere. Maybe he's slipped and fallen or... So my father, they go to the door getting ready to get in the truck and go down the mountain. They open up the door and my step-grandfather is standing facing the door and he's just standing there like dazed, just frozen. And they get him in the house and, you know, get him sat down. And my grandmother is getting him, you know, some coffee, warm him up. And he's just physically shaken. And they, after a time goes by, he starts to tell what happened. He got out of his ride's vehicle and started up the mountain walking. It was a rainy night, very foggy. And he said that, thought about the shortcut. So he goes over and he jumps off of the old wagon road onto the shortcut and he starts up and he loses his way. And he said it was so foggy that he couldn't see his hand in front of him and he started panicking. He said something took his hand that was as cold as ice. And he said he saw no figure, but it took his hand and led him all the way up that mountain and to the front door where they found him. And he was terrified. And never again was it, you know, dark before he made it home. He was home before dark from that point on. Jump ahead to recent. There is still the cemetery on top of the mountain that the family, you know, is unfortunately, as time goes on and family gets older, there's, you know, more folks to go into the cemetery, and my mother and my father both are buried there. Well, right before my father's death, he started expanding the cemetery. There's a fence around it up on top of the mountain, and he started expanding it, and he put these posts out to where he was going to run a fence, but he passed away before he got it completed. My brother and his wife were on the mountain mowing the cemetery and around it one day, and the wife asked my brother, which is my sister-in-law, my brother, said, "Well, what are we going to do about these posts?" And he said, "Well, let's go on over." And my brother was on a tractor, and she was in their new pickup truck. And he said, "I'm going to go ahead and pull them up. That it's going to be a while before we get it, you know, the cemetery expanded." And he said he went and jumped on the tractor. She went and was following him on the in the new truck. As soon as she started the truck, the horn started blowing, and he's on the tractor in front of her, and he's, you know, puttering along like an old farm tractor does, and he stops and looks back, and she's just parked there and looking at him and has both hands in the air, and the horn is going off. Well, he motions for her to come on, and she puts it in drive, and it's pulling up, but the horn is still blowing. And finally, you know, he stops on the tractor, and he's turning around like, what do you want? You know, why are you blowing the horn? Get off the horn. And she again puts both hands up in the air to show that, you know, it's not her. The horn's just malfunctioning. It's going off. So he jumps off of the tractor, and she turns the truck off and gets out, and the horn's still going on. And he lifts the hood, and still the horn's going off. And he said, "I guess Dad don't want me to take the posts up." Bam, the horn goes off. And it's never malfunctioned since then. Needless to say, the posts are still up, and we're making plans to finish the expansion. Anyway, there's many more stories associated with this mountain that I have experienced, but I wanted to share these little stories with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful place in the southwestern tip of Virginia in the Appalachian Mountains, but kind of some spooky stuff. I don't feel comfortable up there after dark.
Real Ghost Stories Online, 31 days of Halloween. An extra story a day to keep the spirits at bay. For commercial-free ghost stories, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and exclusive bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.